Hey, this is Dr. Priyanka Venugopal, and you're listening to the Unstoppable Mom Brain Podcast, an expert guest panel on how coaching can impact every corner of your life. I am so excited. This has been a podcast in the works for quite a while where I am bringing together some of my good friends, peers, colleagues, and coaches to talk about how coaching can impact any and every crevice and corner of your life. DL Sharon is a business coach. Maggie Reyes is a marriage coach. Danielle Savory is a sex and pleasure coach. And of course, I am a weight loss coach. The intent of this conversation and why I even got struck with this idea was because I really wanted to share in real time with perspectives from different coaches, how coaching doesn't just change one area of our life. For example, for me, I got into coaching because I wanted to lose weight, but it changed so many other parts of my life. It changed my life as a mom, like I share on the podcast today. It changed my marriage. It changed my thoughts around my work. And I wanted to have experts in different industries share their experience and their perspectives on how coaching changed other parts of their life too. This conversation was such a joy to record. We're all going to be sharing it on our own podcast. I really wanted to bring this group of women together. They have all personally impacted me. They have either given me coaching or advice or feedback or their thoughts that has in some way or another shaped and changed the trajectory of my life. And that's the power of coaching. So I hope you'll enjoy today's expert guest panel with some of my good friends. And if you want the contact information for any of the coaches or how to tag us on Instagram with maybe your favorite takeaway, the show notes page of this podcast will have everybody's details. I hope you guys enjoy. If you want to reach your ideal weight and create lightness for your body, you need to have simplicity, joy, and strategic decisions infused into your life. I'm a physician turned life and weight loss coach for ambitious working moms. I've lost over 60 pounds without counting points, calories, or crazy exercise plans. Most importantly, I feel calm and light on the scale and in my life. There's some delicious magic when you learn this work and the skills I'm going to be teaching you. Ready? Let's get to it. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. Today, I am beyond thrilled. I actually have some goosebumps and I was already fangirling with my friends and colleagues here on the call. We are talking with some expert guest coaches in different niches, completely different areas of life, and how coaching has trickled into different corners of our life. And I wanted to bring experts in their field to talk about it. So without further ado, I thought it would be really fun to maybe just we can go around the room and just introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about you and how you discovered coaching to start with. So DL, do you want to start?
Sure. I'm so excited to be here. My name is DL Sharon. I'm a sales coach for women of color. And I discovered coaching actually through network marketing. So I was trying to make some money and I was doing Beachbody. Priyanka, I'm sure you have several thoughts. And I was so grateful for it at the time. Like, it just showed me to personal development. Like, there would be these calls where they would be talking about the books that they were reading or the other podcasts that they would be sharing about. And then I had someone who was in a different network marketing company than me, but she sent me a podcast. And I was like, what's a podcast? This thing looks weird. Like, I don't want, there's no videos. Like, I don't want to listen to this. It turned out to be about coaching and the power of coaching. And I fell down a rabbit hole and I've been in Wonderland ever since.
So good. Okay, Maggie, tell us about you.
Hey, everybody. My name is Maggie Reyes. I'm a marriage coach. I help type A women have better marriages without waiting for their partners to change. So in my universe, all roads lead to Oprah. And I discovered coaching because of Oprah. So Oprah did an episode many years ago on her show about how to use vision boards. So I, of course, Googled vision boards after the show. And that is literally how I found my very first coach. Well, she had a blog post about vision boards and I signed up to get her emails. And then I went to a retreat where then I later, at one of my first coaches retreats, the guest speaker was someone named Brooke Castillo, who then founded the school where I eventually got certified as a coach. So all roads lead to Oprah.
Love some Oprah. Amazing. Danielle, tell us about you.
Yeah. So my name's Danielle Savory. I'm a sex and pleasure coach for women. And I found coaching on my own journey of healing. And so, you know, I had kind of fallen into it through the mindfulness. So before I found coaching, I was a mindfulness and meditation teacher. And I was at this training, the self-compassion training with Kristen Neff and Christopher Germer. And I was sitting and we were doing this experiential, that's not how you say that word, this activity, this practice together. And I turned to this woman next to me and we were sharing a little bit about ourselves. And she was like, oh, I'm a life coach. I was like, what is that? Like, I had no idea what that was. I had never heard of life coaching. I was already looking into applying to become a therapist. And as she started telling me more about it, I was like, that's it. Like, I got full body, like goosebumps and knowing like that's where I meant to go. And so the minute I got back from that training, looked it up and dove headfirst into the world of coaching.
I love it. And if you're new to me, I am Dr. Priyanka Venugopal. I coach type A professional working moms to lose the weight they want with science-led strategies. And I will say my story is actually really similar. I had no idea what coaching was before I discovered coaching. And I didn't ever listen to a podcast before. So DL, it's kind of like you, someone, I think I was in a Facebook group and I was just not purposely searching, but kind of purposely searching as it goes, how to lose weight. As a professional, as a busy mom, that's ultimately what I was looking for. And I was in this Facebook group and somehow the universe just aligned and somebody happened to mention coaching and a podcast. And I had to look up the fact that there was a podcast app on my phone. I did Audible. I did like the audiobooks, but I never did podcasting. So I just searched what a podcast was, discovered this coaching podcast. And similar to you, I went down the rabbit hole. And again, because I'm a perfectionist, I had to start with episode one. She had a bajillion episodes, but I'm like, we have to start at the beginning, of course. And episode one to episode 150. And I was like, I hope she is still alive and working with someone. And like, can I still work with her? And I think what I discovered when I first even understood what coaching was, oh, I thought this whole entire time that I'm just this way and this is just how life is. And it turns out that that's not the truth of the universe. And I think that something about that piece, that there's something with coaching where we can have a lot more power in our life, no matter our time, our kids, our partners, anything, we could actually experience a lot more power. That was very intoxicating for me to pull into that. So I'm just curious, whoever wants to jump on in with this idea of how is it that your journey into coaching led you to start changing the trajectory of the life that you were living before?
I think for me, it's interesting. I have a social work background. So my husband is also a therapist and personal development. I was swimming around this, like, it was more the idea of like, you can help someone get out of a bad situation, right? Like, it's like what you learn in therapy school. And so I knew that I could get myself out of like bad situations, or like I could heal from a, you know, depression, or I could heal from something bad happening in my childhood. But what I love about coaching is how like the glass ceiling is kind of gone. Like the sky is kind of the limit. And I love like that freedom that coaching really provides. Like I love the forward thinking and like you can create a lot of different results. You can create any result that you want. You can become any person you want. That was really like massive for me to think about. I can make as much money as I want. I could live in any neighborhood that I want, has been really helpful. And even in the things where I feel like I couldn't control, like I got diagnosed with a chronic illness 2 years ago. And I remember having the relationship, and I was maybe in the coaching industry for about 3-4 years. So I had this like glass ceiling removed, the world is my oyster mortality. And then I got sick and I had this illness that couldn't go away, right? Like it couldn't go away automatically with coaching. But then I realized that another lens of coaching was, oh, but coaching can help me think about this differently, right? It could help me see this differently. And that then removed a glass ceiling as well. And so I think like what I love about coaching is like, it just removes like the limits that we put on ourselves. It removes the glass ceilings. It removes the rules that we set for our lives, even in things that we necessarily can't change, right? We can't get any result that we want with it. And also the things where we do have a lot more power and control.
So much of exactly what DL said. And I think for me too, coming from like the mindfulness and meditation world, I had created so much awareness. You know, that's really what this world, it teaches you to notice your thoughts and notice your reactions and notice all of these ways that you're showing up in the world. But it didn't give me clear instructions about what to do with that awareness. And I think coaching gave me like some sort of action to take, like, okay, now I see all of these thoughts. I don't have to just watch them swimming around, but I actually have the ability to change my thoughts, to change my perspective, to change the way that I'm relating to things. And similarly to what DL said about, you know, I was also going through a lot of chronic pain and health issues. And so seeing this part of like, yeah, I have all this awareness of how I'm responding and rejecting my body and the tone that I'm speaking to my body, but where do I go from here? How do I relate to my body and really start to change things, not just become aware? And so coaching really was this pivot point of moving forward and taking action, you know, even if it wasn't like outside action, like mental action inside of my head, changing the tone, changing the words, changing the conversation that I was having with myself that I didn't feel like I had access to with simply having awareness. And so that's what I really loved about coaching and what was so different from what I had been doing prior with was with the mindfulness and meditation stuff.
Thank you. That's beautiful, Danielle. I love that. My very first experience, going back to my very first coach, was when I met my own husband. I had this feeling of rightness. Some people have it with their kids or with a hobby where you're like in a state of flow and just you feel like you're in the right place at the right time with the right people. Like I feel right now, I have that feeling of rightness too. And I realized all the places in my life that didn't feel that way. Like I was like, oh, this is what rightness feels like. And no, my job doesn't feel that way or anything like that. And working with that first coach, one of the very first things that she taught us was complete your incompletions. And she said, look at your life and see what there's things in your life where they sort of feel like they're hanging over you. Anything that feels like it's hanging over you is incomplete. What would it take to complete it? And at that time, I didn't have a college degree. I hadn't finished. I went to really fancy, nice schools, but didn't finish them. I went to two of them. And I was like, oh, I want to finish that incompletion. So I went to community college and I worked in and went to school. And it was one of the most amazing experiences. My commencement speaker at the time was the president of the United States, which was Barack Obama. So I was like, whoa, when I complete my incompletions, really awesome things happen. What else do I need to complete? It was such an amazing experience. And at that time, I had to decide, am I going to stay in HR, which is what I used to do before becoming a coach, or am I going to explore this coaching thing? It seems kind of interesting. And literally, it was like my path diverged. And instead of continuing on, I went to coach training.
I love that. I don't know whether this resonates with any of you guys, but I am a doer. So I've always been this person. Give me a plan. Give me the strategy. Give me steps 1, 2, and 3. And you better believe I'm going to get to 1, 2, and 3 because that's how I've always been hardwired to believe that's how we get results. And I think before I understood coaching, I used to underplay the power of our thinking because it didn't feel tangible. I didn't feel like, where's the step 1, 2, and 3 with our thoughts? Kind of speaking, Danielle, to your point around like, I can be aware, but okay, now what? How does this actually impact my actions? And what I think why it felt so intoxicating and why coaching felt so intoxicating for me is I started to see how the thoughts we were having about, you know, at the time, my son or my husband or my family, or definitely my life as a physician, how my thoughts and my perspectives about these parts of my life was trickling into how I was showing up in my life. And I'd been spending so much of my time with this good on paper experience, but I just was not experiencing it well. And so I'm just curious for all of you, at what point did you start to feel like coaching is both actionable and also this marriage between the thoughts that we're having and how it's really driving us to show up the way we are?
For me, like I said, it almost felt like that right away. You know, it was like that missing piece for me. And it also by like looking at the thoughts at a deeper level, it increases your awareness, right? So it's like when you start to notice how your thoughts are linking to your behaviors. And for me, noticing how my thoughts were linking to my symptoms, which was really, really fascinating, was then I could start to see how much power I did actually have. You know, maybe it wasn't to eliminate everything that was going on, but how these small switches in the way that I was approaching my body, approaching my thinking, approaching my behavior, my husband, whatever it might be, that those tweaks, when I made them, when I saw them sooner in the day, when I saw them in action, not just like in retrospect, which is a lot of what our awareness is at the beginning, right? Is looking back and then noticing, oh, this is what I was thinking there. I see these actions, you see it play out. But the more I started to see this pattern, I got to catch it during and in action. And then it was this, you know, automatic pivot point of being able to start to turn towards what I wanted to create, turn towards some more of these practice thoughts and practice behaviors. And as I did that more, and as I really started to shift my tone around what I was doing in my life, I also started to notice differences in how my body felt and how, you know, I not just like physically felt, but also how I emotionally felt. And that was, you know, such a huge unlock, I know, for so many people, is starting to see how it actually impacts our body, you know, and it impacts our emotions, which then, of course, impacts our behavior. But that I really did have way more control than I thought that I did, considering I've always considered myself like a drama queen and very dramatic. I was like, oh, maybe I don't have to be as dramatic in all of these situations. I still choose to be like dramatic in a lot, but not everything, because I can see now how it's like negatively impacting me going towards what I want.
That's so good. I have to say, during coach training, I had the craziest experience that just nailed it for me. So in coach training, the instructor was telling one of the people in the training, not me, was having trouble with their boss. They were being coached with someone else, which was also the first time I experienced how someone else's coaching could apply to me, was right in coach training. She was saying, pretend your boss loves everything you do, to this person who had like all the strife with their boss, and it was just all stress and all the time. And at the time, I was also having strife with my boss, and I was like, pretend she loves everything I do? I don't know. That sounds pretty wacky. And I want to say I was super skeptical, and I was not like, there was no Kool-Aid that I had drunk or anything like that. I was like, I'm going to try this thing because this woman said it would be a good idea, but I was very skeptical about how that was going to work. And I so vividly remember, I was working in HR, so we had hundreds of emails every day. That was like my life was going through emails. And I got an email that would normally have activated me like 0 to 60 in like 30 seconds, right? And I would have like popped off a reply with all of the emotion that mm-hmm. you could imagine that would take.
The and drama.
All the drama. All the Danielle's drama. A little bit of Maggie drama mixed in. Mm-hmm. So I paused. And I looked at the email and I said, how would I handle it if she loved everything I did? And instead of my react reply of right, all the things that I wanted to say, I, instead of doing all that, which would have created 50 emails back and forth throughout the day, right? I know that future. I have lived it before. I said, hey, why don't we meet? And I'll show you this thing. And I remember having a stack of folders. I don't remember what it was about, but I just remember there was a big stack of folders involved. And I said, why don't we meet? And she said, yeah, great. And I went to her office with the stack of folders. And the most surreal, wacky, unexpected thing happened, where she asked me for 1 minute about the folders. And the rest of the conversation was something like totally innocuous, unrelated, her personal life, who she was dating, what was going on. And in that moment, I was literally sitting there looking calm and engaged in the meeting, but thinking, this coaching thing, it really works. You change your thoughts, you change your reactions, and you create a new reality. Like, there it is right in front of me. Because the other reality of going back and forth on email and being snippy and all that, I had lived that. I knew those were well worn roads in my brain and in my actual experience. So that is when I was like, there's something to this.
Oh, I love that story, because you know, it's like one of those things where you can hear other people's stories and how things have worked for them. But then when you experience it, this is for some reason, I don't know why the story is coming up, but DL was coaching me on discouragement. And I had so many circumstances that are in my mind. And this is me being a coach, being an experienced coach now. And I just couldn't see what she was seeing. So I was sharing with her certain facts that really felt like facts. This is just what it is. This is the reality. And DL, I remember you said, I want you to self-coach on your discouragement for 30 days. And I was like, 30 whole days? You want me to think about my discouragement? Why are we doing that? And I think what was so fascinating, this happened, I think, by day 3 of this exercise, because I'm, again, a good student. My coach said to go and do this assignment. So I'm like, gonna go step 1, 2, 3. And by day 3, the power of that exercise and just believing in her coaching of the moment just opened up so much for me in my experience with discouragement. And I had the realization, which is I am over the next 50 years likely going to experience discouragement again. Turns out that, I mean, as a high achieving person, I'm going to go out for big things and have these big goals. And it turns out I'm going to experience discouragement again and likely make mistakes and likely get it wrong. And my husband's going to annoy me and my kid is going to worry me and my time is going to feel stretched thin. It turns out I'm going to have 50 more years of that. So what would it be like if I changed my relationship with that part of my life? And I think DL's exercise, and this is one of so many now with coaching, where I'm like, oh, if I don't have to keep fighting my reality, if I don't have to keep fighting the reality of it, and if I just made a little spot for it in the back seat, wasn't so dramatic, right? In that moment of feeling the discouragement, which would always drive me to micro quit in small ways, what's the impact of that? I just feel like it's been so transformative for me.
I love that. I call that exercise like cleaning out the barrel, right? Like getting in the nooks and the crannies of like one really stubborn thought. And like you see it 100 different ways if you coach on it for 30 days straight, right? And I had a similar experience as far as going back to the original prompt of like how coaching can actually change your actions and like you do different things. I have, well, really two things. I'll give a business one and then a weight loss one. I wanted to quit my job for a very, very long time. I did not have the identity of an entrepreneur, though. And so I was posting and trying to grow my business for a very long time, didn't see the shift until there was one day I was coaching with the amazing Catherine Morrison. And she said, she was like, what would an entrepreneur do? And I was like, oh, an entrepreneur would save up to be one, right? Like it would start there. Mm-hmm. And so I changed my thought to be like, okay, entrepreneurs have savings, right? Let me start to save up to quit my job. I opened up the bank account and I just put $500 in it. Yeah. And I was off to the races. I started saving up. I started making more money. It became a game. It became fun. If you would have told me that saving would be fun, I would have said, you're crazy. But it's because I changed how I was thinking about it. The action then became a lot more fun because I was actually creating this identity real time, if you will. And I was able to save up all the money I needed to quit in 4 months, where I went almost 2 years without saving a dime.
And that's just from one well-placed question. Right. It's just like, yeah. Catherine just asked you one question and it toggled you over to a totally different set of actions.
Yeah, changed my life, really. It changed my life. And so that was one example. And then a second example was I noticed myself, I call it the apple pie era of my life, where for a long time, and I think this was around my diagnosis of getting sick, I was buffering, which is something that we learn in coach training. I would order an apple pie from McDonald's. We have a McDonald's like 5 minutes away. And it will come in 10 minutes with Uber Eats. And I would sit on the couch and that's how I would decompress. And then the weight started to pile on from there. And I was just like, DL, you're stressed, you're grieving, you're sad, right? There's something going on. And the thought that shifted for me was, this is not how you handle your stress anymore. You don't handle your stress through the apple pies. You can handle it in any other way other than the apple pie. Kind of cold turkey, I stopped eating out as much. And it wasn't out of like force. Like I literally changed my desire, right? I changed my urges, which was a completely different way of approaching changing my habits. I lost 15 pounds in about 6 weeks. It was very fascinating. And so I think there's so many ways where coaching and changing your mindset can be extremely actionable, right? And I think it's also trusting that if we change the brain, the body will follow suit, sometimes in a positive or in a maladaptive way.
I actually think about this idea where I think a lot of times we have these thoughts around, and this could be any area of our life, but I deserve, you know, fill in the blank, or I just need a break, or I, you know, deserve to have my partner talk to me in a certain way, or I need my kid to behave a certain way. And I think all that's happened over many years, just so much of the messaging we've got for so many decades, we've just married certain reactions to that thought. So I think for me too, food was Cool Ranch Doritos with Kraft cheddar cheese and a big glass of wine and Netflix. That was my way of treating myself after a really long day. And for a long time, I just had my reaction to the thought, I deserve a break, I deserve care, what about me, was with food and alcohol. And what I think has happened over the years and with coaching is, what if I didn't have to throw away the thought, which is I deserve a break and I want care. But what if I divorced that from the maladaptive reaction, which is overeating when I'm not hungry, or drinking when I, you know, over drinking, or maybe yelling at the kid or snipping at the partner, or just disconnecting from reality. What if I didn't have to have that reaction to the thought, but actually got so curious about this desire that I have, which is to have a break, and actually think of other ways of creating that? I just think the analogy that I think about is you get to have your cake and eat it too. Pun intended, right? Like, you get to start to have and learn the third road. It's not all or nothing. There's this third road available to us when we start to push ourselves to find the third road.
I love what you're saying. And I love, you know, so much of how coaching really does allow us to create that pause. Like you were saying, Maggie, and with all of us on our journeys, is like that pause and like, wait a minute, I can look at this a different way. Now I know where this leads me. Now I know where thinking this again is going to take me. And you know, in addition to that, I think for me, I really did find so much change when I implanted certain thoughts or certain ways of being on purpose. Who am I stepping into? Like, who am I waking up to each morning and intentionally stepping into? And that was such a huge game changer for me. And, you know, with a lot of my clients, I really talk about stepping into that turned on woman and how much that can change our thinking. And, you know, like what DL was saying, like, what would an entrepreneur do? Like, when we ask ourselves these questions about not just what we are noticing that we're doing that we don't want to do, but what can we intentionally implant that allows us to move towards the thing that we do want? How can we become magnetic towards that thing? And also, you know, intentionally going after it. And I think that for me was, you know, this perfect balance of like, not just paying attention, but what is it that I want? And how can I step into that more? And how am I each morning after my meditation going to, you know, intentionally put down the thoughts or the ways of being or the ways that I'm going to hold my body or the tone of voice that I'm going to speak to myself in so that I can create the thing, and really seeing it as this forward motion thing too. And that is such an action-oriented thing. You know, it has us picking different clothes. It has us, you know, calling somebody that we wouldn't normally call out of this place of like courage. You know, it has us sashaying through the world with more pleasure and sensuality. Like, it has us doing all of these things that we might not be doing if we were just responding and reacting to the way that we're normally being.
I'm kind of curious for all of you, because I know DL just shared this, and Danielle, you said, what would an entrepreneur do? Or Danielle might be, you know, what would a turned on woman do for me? It's what would someone at their dream ideal weight do? And my first answer, if I had met myself back in 2018, 2019, when I was at my heaviest, it would have been, I would have to cut out more. I know what my answer is now because I know the real solution to solving the problem. But my answer back then would have been, oh, what would somebody at their dream ideal weight do? They would just be more disciplined, and they would just not eat all the crap, and they would just cut the calories and count the points and stop eating French fries. So I'm curious how do you resolve that?
I mean, we learned this from the one and only Brooke Castillo, but like, your desires are different. That person's desires are completely different. So like, an entrepreneur likes to save money, right? Like, that's their desire. Mm. So then where can I then create this desire within myself right now, right? Or it's like the apple pie example I shared. It was like, oh, my future self doesn't even want the apple pie. Like, I just remember Brooke Castillo, when she's talking about her over drinking, she's like, I had to realize that the person who doesn't drink doesn't even want it, right? It's like, it's not even a desire from them. And that changed a lot of things for me, thinking about how can I change my desires? How can I change like what I go after and like what I want from like a low key, like primal level? Like, what are my urges? What are my desires? What are the things that I want?
I just want to chime in because what DL said was so interesting to me, because that lesson that Brooke taught that said, a person who doesn't drink just never thinks about alcohol. I don't drink. And I was listening to her say, I'm like, yeah, I never think about it. It doesn't cross my mind. I have no interest in it whatsoever. It's just not a thing in my world. And so to receive that teaching from the point of view of the person that was like, yeah, I can attest to that. Huh? Correct. Right. Mm-hmm. It was so powerful for me on the other side to be like, oh, so the person who, like, I don't know, runs a business. She just runs a business. She thinks everything through the lens of the business that she's running, or like, the mindset of the person that has the result, right? like Dielle was saying, has a different desire or a different focus or a different orientation. You orient towards something different. So for mine, it's what I give as homework a lot is, what if we talk to each other as if we love each other?
Because a lot of pretend. Let's just pretend for a minute.
As if we love each other. Then how would you approach this with your honey? What would you do? How would you say it? And it's like, oh, because the person who loves this person is not going to start with the worst thing they ever did. They're going to start with like, hey, that must have been hard. What's going on for you? What's happening? And so I just love that the other, like that we have both sides of that equation and how powerful it was to hear from both sides.
I really love that. The example I'm thinking of with food and weight loss was, when I realized, oh, I can actually, like, I might want the Cool Ranch Doritos with the Kraft cheddar cheese, especially when I'm having a really tough day or my kid's giving me a really tough time, or I noticed my mind be like, you know, there are some Cool Ranch Doritos in the pantry. They are there. And oh, what if like that thought has no power anymore? Like, I think before I used to have a sentence in my mind and I just thought that was my reality. And I think what started to shift for me, it only happened because of implementing coaching, actually getting into the coaching. It was not an intellectual exercise. Somebody could have told me that I would have just gotten, I had to get coached on it to see the sentence in my mind is what took away the power. I'm like, of course, I just want a break from my kid or from my husband. I just want a break. Okay, that makes so much sense. It doesn't have any power anymore. That was what it was for me. Somebody that loses the weight they want, that's living at their dream ideal weight with ease, doesn't allow those thoughts to have any power. They're normal. They'll come and go. It's almost like just kind of comes in one ear and out the other, but it doesn't hold the power that it used to. I think that was the part that really drew me.
I was going to say for me and what I'm helping a lot of my clients with isn't necessarily like the words or the sentences. It's the tone that we say it and the way that your body responds to that sentence, right? Well, there's like, I'm going to have sex tonight. Ugh, I'm going to have sex tonight. I'm going to have sex tonight. You know, like there is this tone, and like for the turned on woman, like there isn't a tone that creates pressure in the body. There isn't a tone of saying this sentence that makes your body coil up or, you know, get into guilt or get into shame. There isn't the shoulding. And so there, I think that is so important. Like when we're talking about how would this person be, it's like, how do they also feel? How do they feel in response to what's going on in their brain and in these thoughts? And, you know, for my example of like the turned on woman, like she doesn't feel pressure. Well, if you don't feel pressure in your body, if you feel desire, then it might not necessarily be a different sentence, but the way that the sentence is delivered and then the way the sentence is received is completely different. And so really understanding that it's sometimes those nuances, because, you know, on the surface, we know a lot of these sentences, like I can eat better, or I can eat healthy, or I'm this healthy person. But it's so different when you're like, I can be healthy, you know, versus like, I can be healthy with like this, like playful light, like, yeah, that is a choice to me. That's totally available. Then it doesn't become this should, but it does have that ability to move into the realm of desire.
I love this idea around changing the tone and tenor of the conversation. I actually found, I think one of the reasons that I used to be on the roller coaster for so long, just in lots of results, but especially weight loss, was how I handled mistakes. So I'd make a mistake and I had a lot of should. You shouldn't have done that. If only you hadn't done that, then you wouldn't have to deal with this. If you had just done this part of the strategy better. This is with business too. This is with like every single corner part of my life. And I realized I would never talk to my daughter this way. If my daughter, who at the time was like just a little baby when I first discovered coaching, if she messed up or made a mistake, I would never say like, you know, you asshole, I can't believe you did that. Never say that to my daughter. Yet like, why do I think I can say that to myself? And I think I had no idea that, you know, because I'm an optimistic person with this glass half full personality, that I was actually being so unkind to myself in these little tiny little ways. And that was the key for me to realize, wait a second, there's going to be 50 years of mistakes and 50 years of all of this is going to happen. If I was different in that, in the tone and tenor, what would start to change? It turns out I can get curious about my mistakes and I can get curious about like what happened there. I wonder why. And like a little playful scientist and figure out what was it this time? Because we are assuming we're going to solve it. Instead of the assumption being we're not going to solve this problem or we're not going to hit the goal, the assumption is actually we are going to solve this. So like, let's just figure this one out. It just changed my experience as a mom. And that actually kind of brings me to my next question. For me, I entered coaching because of weight loss. but I changed my experience as a mom, as a wife, as a physician. I mean, in so many areas of my life. So I'm curious for all of you, you got into coaching because of something, you know, pulled you in, but how did it change a different area of your life that you didn't initially come into coaching with?
I want to go first.
Let's do it, Maggie.
I have thoughts. So it's so fun to be doing this interview with one of my closest friends, Danielle, because one of the byproducts that I've had from coaching is some of the relationships that have changed my life so profoundly. And when I first met Danielle, we were at a retreat about retreats. And I remember looking across the table thinking, wow, she's really cool. You know, just like my inner little girl was just like, wow, you know, I wonder like what it's like to be a friend to someone so cool, right? And now, like so many years later, and we've gone through so many things, and she's, you know, she's seen me at my worst, she's seen me at my best, she's seen me cry, she's seen me succeed, she's seen me fail. And so never in a million years when I Googled how to make a vision board, right, did I think that I would have some of the relationships that I have now with people who are present for all of those different things. And to And she and I have literally met when we were starting out and like weren't the people that we are today. And to have someone witness you through all of the ups and downs and winding roads of life is such a priceless gift that following the path of coaching has given me, just in the friendships and in the sense of community and the sense of being held, that is I could not have ever imagined such a thing. And I have to tell you one other quick one because it was such a dream come true. And for everyone listening, it's just like you go in for the thing that you want the help with, but the byproducts are amazing and everyone will have different byproducts that are so meaningful to them. So many years ago, there was a tweet about an interview on XM radio with my favorite talk show host when I was growing up, besides Oprah. The Latin Oprah is this woman named Christina Saralegui. She's retired. She was on for like 25 years in Spanish. And they tweeted that they were going to talk about marriage. And I was like, I could talk about marriage in Spanish. I could do this. So I tweeted back or replied or whatever. And the producer called me. And I got to like literally meet one of my childhood idols, right? I got to go to the studio for XM Radio. I was on a panel with the editor-in-chief of People in Español, which was like so fun. And I was there the whole time, you know, looking calm and professional. But in the inside, I was like, this is amazing, right? And so those are the things that when you become a person who thinks, what's possible for me? Like my thought was, I can answer that tweet, right? I love when DL said the glass ceiling just breaks. Mm-hmm. It's a thought as simple as, I can answer that tweet. And then you have a whole new experience that would have never been available to you before that. So those are my.
Oh, I love that. And I just have to say, you know, the reason that I thought of the three of you for this call is, and I have many coaching friends and colleagues and peers, and I carefully was thinking about each of you have had in your own way, whether it was in a conversation as a friend or as my coach or as a peer, as a colleague at some point in the past many years, have said something kind of like that. And it's just shifted one, it's like a 1% shift in my perspective around something so deeply that it really shifted something in my life. And so number one, I'm just grateful to all of you in whichever capacity you delivered that to me, whether it was coaching or just advice or friendship. But I think, Maggie, what you're saying is it just starts to plant these seeds of possibility that I just didn't have on my own. On my own, I think of myself as this practice. I'm a practically minded person. This is how I tell myself. I'm practical. We go back to step one, two, and three. But I think what I didn't know I needed, which I needed, was planting seeds of possibility that I just could not visualize because I had not lived it or dreamed it. I just thought about my family, my background, like nobody in my life has done the things that I want to do. And what I think these conversations and coaching has done is it's planted a seed of possibility. Like, what if this was possible for you? Just what if? And I'm like, wait, really? Me? Little old me? Is it possible for me too? And then all of a sudden, because of that question or the seed getting planted, I just start doing one little thing different. And I just start, and all of a sudden my life is totally different. I would never have imagined right now, 5 years ago, that I would have left medicine and I'm a full-time entrepreneur and I'm a coach and I'm sitting here talking to the three of you. Never in a million years. And yet here we are. Okay, who else? I had to just share that little tidbit. Yeah, DL.
Yeah, possibility is massive, right? Just anchoring in possibility. And society doesn't teach us to believe in possibility either. And so that's one of my favorite things about coaching. I'll tell a sad story and then a happy story about like how it impacted something unexpected. So going back to when I got sick, I went to a conventional doctor. She was like, there's nothing we can do. And because I was in coaching, right, I was like, possibility, there's always something that we can do. And also because they also pursued entrepreneurship, right? I learned the power of Facebook groups. And I wasn't in Facebook groups until I became an entrepreneur. I learned about Facebook groups. And so I was in a Facebook group where I found my current doctor that now has put my condition in remission, which I've been so happy about. And I just think so much like, because I didn't believe that doctors thought, right? I then pursued and I found my own doctor. I guess it's a happy story. This was the sad one. Yeah. I guess it's a happy one. But yeah. I just think so much about like, if I didn't have that, I would still be sick, right? Like if I didn't have coaching, if I didn't believe other people's thoughts about my situation, even no offense, Priyanka, you're a doctor, but like even doctors, right? Where we give so much power to, right? Like even someone where we think has all of the control, coaching has taught me that everything is up for grabs. And then a fun, and like,
can I just say one thing about that? This idea of like giving power away. What is so fascinating is I think before coaching, we have been giving power away to the doctors in our life or the parents or the time that we think we don't have or the list of response. Like we've been giving power away in so many ways. And I think what you're sharing in the story is, what if we didn't do that? What if we didn't give this power away? What starts to shift? I just have to share that. That just came. Okay. Share your happier story.
No, going back to like power, right? Like just in so many areas, like, oh, I have this degree. I have to work in this field, or this is the set amount of money I'm always going to make, or my partner is like this, or they're like that. Like just we give our power away so often. So it's taking the power back. So that's part of it. And then I started going to culinary school this year. And I always wanted to be a better cook. And I had so many thoughts about myself. And like, I'm clumsy in the kitchen and I make a mess and it takes three times longer than what the recipe says. It takes 20 minutes. It actually takes me 2 hours to make this. And I said, like, DL, go get some help. Learn about this. Like, become the person. What does a really like great home cook do? They study cooking, go to culinary school. It's been one of the most like life-changing experiences of my life. I look forward to it every Thursday. My husband makes fun of me. My friends make fun of me because I put my little hat on and my coat on every single time that I go, like my little chef's hat, chef's coat. And it's something about that like uniform changes my identity. Like, I'm a chef today. I'm going to culinary school. And so just also the ability to change identities, the ability to become somebody different, the ability to learn things that we never would have learned before, I think is so powerful.
I love it. And DL, I love your Instagram stories. Like she'll be having slides on being a $1 million coach. And then she has herself in the white chef's hat making pasta at her culinary school, which I just.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I did not know you were doing that, DL. And I'm obsessed. I think that's so fun and so amazing. And now it makes me want to go watch all of your stories as well. And thank you, Maggie. Love you so much. And I was going to just add to that, like, I think it is the community. And I think, you know, even though I've been a social person all my life, it wasn't until coaching that I felt like I found my people. And I felt like I found my place of belonging, and like people that understood me. And it wasn't these super level, superficial conversations anymore. You know, it was like, we got right down to it within the first 2 minutes. And so there is something about like, and really being seen and being seen in all of your layers. And like Maggie had said, like your low points, your high points, all of your points in between, because in coaching by default, it's a vulnerable setting. Like you're bringing up stuff in your mind that you are even kind of shameful to have these thoughts. You know, we necessarily kind of go into this place where we're like, oh, because I'm a coach, I shouldn't have this thought anymore. I shouldn't be held back by this. And when you allow yourself to feel safe in your own body, to be able to share that with your coach or in a group coaching setting, you know, there's such this liberation that happens, and being able to be witnessed in this growth and in this liberation, you know, really does bring you that closeness and that intimacy with people that will be part of your life forever. So yes, to the community. So I remember, Priyanka, you mentioned how it had just changed like your motherhood and the way that you show up as a mom. We're always still growing towards what we're coaching on or what we're being coached on, right? It's not like we just arrive. It's always this practice of continuously seeing stuff. And I remember I was working through something of really having more self-compassion for myself because I would get like really upset really quick or running late, or especially when the girls were young. It was really hard. I didn't really enjoy motherhood when they were younger. I didn't really feel like a great mother because I felt like I kept melting down or I'd be really irritable or whatever it might be. And I was using coaching on my daughters all of the time. I'd hear them say something like make a mistake or do something. And they would start talking to themselves unkindly. And I would be like, hey, you can't talk to my daughter that way, you know, and starting to implant this like thought, like we don't talk to ourselves that way. We don't, you know, speak to ourselves this way. And this one time I'm like in my minivan and dropping the girls off. And I just had this total meltdown because we were late again. And I just felt like I was the mom who was always late and never had her shit together and just like falling apart. And I was just saying these kind of things out loud. And Harlow was in the back seat in her car seat in her little cute voice. She said, "You can't talk to my mom like that." And it makes me emotional now because I think that's like what coaching does is like we show up as this person. We say these words, we say these expressions, we're being that person and we're not always able to access it ourselves. And that like turning point of having her see me the way that I was speaking to myself and having that like awareness of like, wait, we don't talk to ourselves like that. You included, mom, was such this, like, I can't even explain, but just like this complete heart explosion moment of like, oh, like this is working. Like I'm setting that, like it's planting those seeds with my daughters. And I get to give the gift of being able to receive that as well from them. So I would say that was one of my most powerful stories of like really starting to see how that was impacting, you know, my mothering, but just my daughters in and of itself. And then beyond that, just like this last weekend, I was doing something that was really outside of my comfort zone and really big for me. And I think that it allowed me, you know, it's always like that possibility that all of you have talked about, like, oh, I never even thought that this was possible for me or that this could be me on the stage or people would be interviewing me. Like, what's going on here? Like, I want that. I want that. I want that. But like, wait, am I worthy of that? Can I have that? Like, I have the self-confidence that I know that I have the value and the skills to be able to be that person. But really what I've been reflecting on a lot is like allowing myself to step into this place of the worthiness of that. This last weekend, there were so many moments where I just noticed all of the old doubts come up, all of the old stories, you know, like I said, they don't just go away just because you feel like you've healed them so often. And being able to see them so clearly and be like, baby girl, of course you're scared. Like, baby girl, like, this is a big deal. This is new for you. And I got you. Like, I got you. You're worthy of being here. Like, you deserve to, like, have your voice being heard, too. And it was such a powerful moment of, you know, seeing all of the same thoughts, all of the same doubts, all of the same things I've been working on for years, but being able to relate to them and not believe them. Like we were talking about giving power, not giving them the power that would normally crumple me or squeeze me where I felt like I couldn't talk, and really being able to like stand up on that stage and feel fully expressed and fully supported by me. So
I love that. I actually had a similar experience with coaching. I came in for weight loss and to change how I thought about food. And I didn't even know what I was getting into, to be perfectly frank. Like, I just knew this is supposedly something that works, that there's a podcast that I loved, and I guess we're going to do this. But I ended up changing so much around my thoughts around my son. At the time, he was 3 and a half. And I had so many thoughts about him just being different than the other kids and him being more of a challenge. And me as this busy physician who just maybe didn't have enough time, and what am I doing it wrong? It must be something that I'm doing. I had so many thoughts around just my working mom life and how it was impacting my son. And I finally got to the point, just because of what we've been talking about, the thoughts that I was having about him. And the shift that I made was just starting to see him for who he is, this special little 3 and a half year old. Now he's 8 and a half, which is crazy. But seeing him as he is, not needing him to be any different, not needing him to be like the neighbor's kid or the kid that always does X, Y, and Z thing. It just deepened not only my love for him, but I think he got to feel it. the benefit was he got to experience a mom that was seeing him for him. And it just, I mean, I can like cry on this whole thing. It just, it really changed my whole life. And I remember my husband said to me, I think about 2 years ago now, he said, you know, all of the coaching that you've done, it's changed our family because it's changed his life, you know? So somebody else talk because now I'm crying.
Oh, we see you. We love you. And this is it. Like everybody that is, you know, the flies on the walls to this conversation, like, this is the power. It does. It's life-changing. You go into it thinking it's going to do one thing and it has this ripple effect into every single like crook and cranny of your life in the most beautiful way.
Yeah. I have one final question. And then I feel like we're, you know, we have so much that we could keep talking about. Just one final question. The first time that you might have made the decision to invest in coaching might have been challenging or maybe taken courage. We all have been in group coaching programs, invested in group coaching, been a coach for a group coaching program. What do you think it was that you told yourself about that decision, or maybe you felt hesitation if you've never invested in coaching before, that led you to make that leap, to make the decision to say, I'm going to invest in this dream for myself, this possibility that we've been talking about today? What was it that helped you bridge the gap? I'm curious. And then closing remarks.
I think for me, it was like, we don't want to stay the same. Like we want to do something different. And I had, if you would have told me it was all of this, I would have told you you're lying, right? Like there was just no way, similar to what we've been talking about, that I would have known the ripple effects. And I just knew that I had to be different than what I was currently experiencing. Not that it was the worst thing ever. It wasn't. But also like, I want something different. And if someone is saying, someone on the internet, I call them strangers on the internet talking about coaching, right? Like if someone is saying that it could be different, I'm willing to risk it, risk my money and my time exploring it.
I love that.
I remember still hiring that first coach with the vision board article. It was a group program. It was a year long. And then we had to go. She was in Asheville, North Carolina. And we had to go there like 3 times that year as part of the program. So it was not just the program. It was then these trips and all these things. It was so foreign to anything I had ever done in my whole life. And I remember calling my husband and telling him, hey, I think I want to do this thing. It makes no sense. I just want to do it. And he was like, well, if it'll make you happy and okay, tell me more. You know, he was just curious, right? He was just in a state of curiosity. He's like, okay, well, that sounds doable. It was so matter of fact for him looking back. And I was so nervous. I was nervous about telling him I wanted to do the thing. I was nervous about what the thing was going to be. I was like nervous about everything. And I think my moral of my story is just do it nervous. Like, that's okay. Yeah. That it's, if it calls to you, if there's something in your heart that you might even not even have words for, you're just like, I think this could be good. I don't know how it will be good. I don't know why it will be good. I just think it might be good. That was really kind of my thought process about it. And of course, it just ended up changing my whole life.
Yeah, I feel like we get these intuitive hits. Didn't we just know? Didn't know, what were you going to say?
Yeah, I was going to say for me, you know, I struggled with it, honestly, for a while. You know, I think I grew up in a family where you didn't invest money in anything that wasn't like practical. And like, we didn't spend money on vacations. We didn't have any extra like clothes or decorative items in our home or like anything like that, right? It was like things that could have rationale behind them. And so when I first invested in my coach training, that was easier because it felt like a furthering my education for my career. It was part of my profession. It was okay. And even after that, you know, investing in coaching, like at first I was like, there's so much free content out there. There's all these free podcasts, there's these free things. And for me, you know, I feel like there was this sense of pride and this attachment to ego of, I can do this on my own. Like I actually, if they have all this stuff for free, like I can just do it on my own. I don't need anybody else. I'm a smart person. You know, I can take the syllabus and run with it. And so that transition from going from like this kind of DIY, only investing in things that were like going to give me the further education I needed to like be successful in my profession, that, you know, that really was a progressive shift for me of letting go of shame and letting the ego dissolve, that it wasn't like, oh, it's not because I can't do this on my own, or I can't follow these steps on my own, but because I don't want to, you know. And I think for me, that was such a huge, like, impactful aha, but it really did take this dissolution of the ego of like, by hiring a coach, it doesn't mean that I'm not capable or that I'm so broken that I need this like extra help. It's like, because why would I want to do this alone? Like, there's all of this, there's this person who's an expert who could really like hold my hand and help me get there and also just feel supported in this journey. Like, why wouldn't I want that? Like, why would I want to sit here and toil and struggle away being alone when I felt alone in so many other regards in my life? Like, let's go ahead and do this on my aloneness too. And so I think for me, it was progressive and it was like these steps of comfortability along the way. But now in retrospect, looking back, I can see that it was also releasing the shame that I had associated with coaching of like, this is a need because there's a part of me that isn't capable or is broken that I need this level of support, instead of like, that's not what it is at all. I see this possibility for myself. Of course, I would want that support along the way.
I remember when I made my first decision into coaching, which was thousands of dollars for a group coaching program before I'd ever done any kind of coaching before. I had thought about how I had invested in college and in medical school. I mean, thousands and thousands of dollars in my education. And I remember when, because I had gone down the rabbit hole listening to hundreds of podcast episodes, and I just knew I wanted support. I came into the conversation with my husband. I didn't actually ask him permission, which is interesting. Normally, if I was going to make a big investment in something or spend a lot of money, the way that I used to come into the conversation was like, hey, so I've been thinking about this thing, and what do you think? And that's how it used to be. And I realized, wait a second, this is something I really want, the guidance of a mentor who has done this. I don't want to be guessing in the dark anymore. I want to mess up and have someone tell me how to get back up on this. They've done it 100 times. I want them to help me. And I remember the way I had the conversation was so different. This is what I want. I hope you're on board. It was crazy because he was like, oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, I don't even know what you're talking about. That sounds amazing. And it's just so fascinating how the desire and wanting something without the shame, without the, oh, I should have been able to figure this out on my own, is what led me to make the decision from such a place of just joy and delight. And Maggie, I think of you because you always talk about like happy decisions, like making this decision from a place of happiness, not because you have to, or because you think you should, or you need to have a coach because you can't do it on your own. Like, that's all so heavy, but like, how joyous and how amazing and how exciting and what love and truly you press that button to say, I want this, and you feel this relief and joy kind of mixed up into one. That was my experience actually coming into coaching for the first time. And I've literally never looked back, which has just been so fun. I feel like we could just keep talking on and on how coaching has changed our lives. Thank you guys all so much, DL, Maggie, Danielle, for coming on the podcast today. And maybe we'll do another one day soon. But everyone, I really appreciate you all listening in on this conversation. And if you were inspired or struck by anything, I hope that it's that possibility is available for anyone listening in any field of your life. We're talking to coaches in so many different areas, and that's possible for you. So thank you guys all for being here. It was amazing. And we'll see you guys at the next one.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye, guys. I just loved this podcast conversation with these amazing women. And I really love that everyone got to share how the just planting the seeds of possibility started to shift our whole life, the whole trajectory of what was possible for us. And I didn't expect to cry, but there we go. We just did. So I hope you'll enjoy today's podcast conversation. And if you did, tag me over on Instagram. I would love to hear from you. What was your favorite takeaway? What was your favorite part of today's episode? And what seed of possibility has been planted for you? You can tag me over at The Unstoppable Mom Brain over on Instagram, or email me at info@theunstoppablemombrain.com. Also, if you want to know more about working with me, more about the next Unstoppable group, which is my 6-month intimate small group coaching container, make sure you head on over to theunstoppablemombrain.com/group, which will share all the details. Have an amazing day, guys. I'll see you at the next one. Thanks for listening to the Unstoppable Mom Brain podcast. It's been an honor spending this time with you and your brilliant brain. If you want more resources or information from the show, head on over to theunstoppablemombrain.com.